San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB Studios. We're normally live at La Vie, but we're waiting for our technical equipment to get repaired. We're here with 50,000 watts of power up and down the coast. We're not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast to Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He is a marathon runner, accomplished. He's a best-selling author, and he is a family office expert to several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
We're doing great, Joe, because we had a really good week, didn't we?
Well, we most certainly did. While you were off speaking in Arizona on Tuesday, I attended the 40th Annual Excellence in Journalism Press Club Awards. And as you know, we entered in four categories. I want to tell you, there were only eight categories for radio. This is mostly for press. But when I showed up and saw three first place blue ribbons on my name tag, I just about passed out. So we really cleaned up. And we got first place for the best radio series in San Diego. We got first place for a specialty reporting series and first place for a specialty reporting single report. And that was the great show we did from the fourth annual Barry Dinner at the home of Bill and Michelle Lirak in June, where we had eight guests in rapid succession and covered a ton of material. So
Tuesday was also a very good night,
yes,
as
they
say.
It was, and I brought the plaques. We'll take some pictures later on tonight, and then, of course, you're getting a duplicate set, so yours will be, you'll have
yeah, I'm
yours.
Sorry, miss. I was speaking in Arizona. I didn't realize in Arizona you got to be really careful what you say because people can carry guns.
Well, you should be packing heat when you go to those CPA meetings.
Anyway.
Yes, so good for us. IYMoney.com, folks, all the podcasts are there, and you can enjoy all the good work I think we've been doing. So, as a footnote, those entries were judged in another city, not here. There was no local politics, so it was all merit-based, and so good for us, right?
It was a great job, so
yeah,
I'm glad
you
guys had fun, too.
On the 40th anniversary, which... You know,
everything important originates from 1973.
Exactly. So...
But we've got a special guest for the first quarter of the show. We got a big event coming up this weekend, and our major sponsor of this show, UBS, is also the major sponsor of Art San Diego, which is going on in Balboa Park starting this Thursday through the weekend, and fifth annual, and it's going to be really, really exciting. So we have Ann Berchtold on the air. Ann, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
And you're a little bit busy right now, is that right?
Yes, this is the end zone, but everything's in motion, so everything looks good.
And you told us you're expecting probably 15,000 people or so, right?
We hope. We had 13,000 people last year, and each year we've kind of grown by about 20%, so we're shooting for that number.
And can you give us a brief history of Art San Diego?
Sure. We launched in 2009 kind of as a pilot project because we weren't quite sure if this type of event would be understood or people would participate. Galleries would come, and we had a fantastic first year. So we've been building on that ever since. We've grown each year by about 20% as far as the number of galleries that attend. We have galleries now from all over the world who participate. This year we'll have galleries from France, from Poland, from Russia, from South Korea, of course, nationally, New York, Miami, and then a lot of our own local galleries.
So what was the genesis for the Art San Diego event? Who planted those seeds? And you've actually grown a pretty good organization yourself. You have a large staff right now, don't you?
We do. Well, I'd say we're a tiny staff with a big volunteer initiative. We have about 80 volunteers who actually, put the show on. And they come from a lot of the schools. We get grad students, undergrad students from Mesa College, from San Diego State University, from UCSD Viz Arts, fantastic group of people that helped put this on.
Mm-hmm. But how did it begin?
It began, I'd say 7-8 years ago when I was running a gallery at the L Street Fine Art, which is part of the Omni Hotel, and I had launched the San Diego Art Prize with a partner of mine, which is kind of a emerging established artist appreciation award in the community, and I was executing those exhibitions at the hotel, I learned about and visited my first art fair, contemporary art fair, which was in Miami, Art Basel Miami Beach, which is the largest art fair in the U.S. And I was completely turned on by that event. It's a way to experience art, you know, I kind of say in a little more rock and roll fashion, less pretentious than, you know, kind of attending a museum. It's fun. There's performance element to it. There's the whole experience. You see all kinds of art. And I just came back just so excited about that event. Looked at San Diego, which was not that different than Miami way back when. We're a young coastal town kind of growing up, trying to figure out who we are, what's our soul. And, you know, just really was chomping at the bit to try to expose San Diego to this type of event. So put the wheels in motion, had a great partner in the beginning and brought on some early investors and got a great partner with the Grand Del Mar the first year, who was just opening and basically kind of said, take our hotel and try it out.
And let's not forget UBS.
And UBS, which has been our partner since year one, and we couldn't do it without them. They have been a huge supporter. You know, UBS One is known for their corporate collection, but also from a community standpoint, just really believe that this could be a catalytic event for the community. So they've been with us every year and keep getting stronger, and they'll be a huge part of the event this year.
So it begins Thursday night, right?
Thursday night. We kick off with a VIP event and what we kind of call the first preview, which is invitational only. We invite guests to see the work for the first time. It's a great party.
It is.
Lots of fun. And then we open to the public Friday through Sunday. You can purchase tickets online or purchase at the door.
And can you give that address so people know?
Yes. The venue is the Balboa Park Athletic Center, which is 2145 Park Boulevard, San Diego, 92101. It's
east side of the street on the east side of the park.
Right. Yep. Last year, nobody knew.
just north of the old Balboa Naval Hospital.
Exactly.
You know where that
is.
And there's signs, and there'll be parking and everything.
Exactly,
there,
so, yeah. We'll have some sign spinners out there.
And it's mostly contemporary art, right? I
mean, it's mostly contemporary. There's a lot of performance pieces this year. There's a little bit mid-century modern. All mediums, sculpture, photography.
We've got some design art too, right?
Yes, we do. We have some strong contemporary furniture designers. We have an exciting booth called Maker SD with some local makers and contemporary designers.
Now, UBS is also helping people invest in art and wine, and there's a special event on that they're holding too. But I'm sure if you circulate through this event and ask enough questions, you can probably find the right people to speak to on that, don't you think?
Yeah, there's a ton of people around. We have a collector concierge desk. We're having a fantastic talk on Saturday called Building a Private and Corporate Collection, and that is followed by an event called The Vault, which has been a really fun event that we do every year. We bring wineries in, and you can taste the wine, walk the art fair. And that night, we're also doing a performance piece called The Silent Disco, which is...
That's the best kind of disco music as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we're going to do this riff. We're not quite sure yet. Where you can't hear the music unless you have the headsets on. And midway through, we're going to play country and Michael Jackson and not tell people and just kind of see what happens. But that should be fun. It'll be, like I said, part performance, part interactive.
Terrific. And your website again is...
is artsandiego2013.com.
Artsandiego2013.com.
Did you do that every year? You just add another year on and get that?
We do, and that was, I cursed myself for actually putting the year in the logo because now we have to reinvent the collateral material every year.
So can you talk about some of the people who are going to be exhibiting?
Sure.
Who's coming in who's really neat, really hot, new, different?
We've got.
I know they all are, but
they all are. You know, I'll start with a lot of the great local talent that we have. We do a program called Art Labs, which provide a space to either a local art museum or an emerging art space or a school, and we give them a loose theme. And the theme this year is Collide, but they have to do a site-specific piece, meaning they have to create an exhibition for that space. So the San Diego Museum of Art is doing a fantastic space called the Gift Shop, which is a little bit of a riff on art fairs. We'll see what they say. I don't know yet. Mesa College students are doing an exhibition called Your Art Here. We have two local artists, Debbie and Larry Klein, who are known for very wild, interesting intellectual pieces, commentaries on social issues. They are doing a piece called Lunch with the Kleins. They are also doing docent tours where they take people through the fair and kind of in a non-pretentious way, poke fun at some of the experiences. We have a fantastic young artist that I found in Miami when I was there last year called The Launchpad, Avery Lawrence. So there's a ton of fun stuff this year.
Well, that's wonderful. We're going to come up on our first break here, but folks, get down to the Balboa Park Activity Center. It's just north of the old Naval Hospital, designed by award-winning architect Rob Quigley, who we'll have on this show December 7th, by the way. So we'll ask him about this as well. But we'll come right back with the rest of our show right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with more of Extra Money and Your Life. And thank you, Ann Berchtold. And get over to artsandiego2013.com and hope to and check out that contemporary art fair. It's the fifth annual. They're bigger and better. It's 60,000 square feet. It's going to be terrific. So, but anyway, Richard, we've got some guests on the line.
Yeah, Joe, by the way, it's the award-winning Get Your Money, first place award,
that's
three
right.
times over.
Excuse me, Triple Crown.
Triple Crown award winning. It's Your Money and Life. But on the line, we were talking about beautiful art. Now we're going to talk about beautiful accounting software. How's that for a segue?
Contemporary.
It's contemporary. On the line, we have Jamie Sutherland and Ted McRae from Xero. Gentlemen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. It's Jamie.
Jamie, how are you tonight?
I'm here too,
Richard. Hey, Ted. So, Jamie, are you up in San Francisco right now?
I'm in San Francisco, yes.
How's the weather?
It's the same as it is every day. It's cold at night.
Cold, it's damp, yeah. Like Sinatra said.
That's right. Yeah. Like Mark Twain said, I spent the coldest winter of my life one summer in San Francisco.
That's exactly right.
And Ted, are you in L.A. right now?
I sure am.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you how the weather is there because we already know that.
So this is the president and vice.
Same, right?
Yeah, this is the president and vice president of Xero, right, Richard? With an X.
It's X-E-R-O for our listeners. Xero. Gentlemen, can you tell our listeners a little bit before you talk about you and your backgrounds? What is Xero, and why is what you guys are doing so darn exciting to those of us who are in the accounting profession?
Cool. Well, I can take that one. It's Jamie, and I think you teed it up nicely. It's a nice segue from your previous caller and interview around being beautifully designed. That's really the core of what we do. So, yeah, I guess we could be a modern-day Picasso if it related to accounting. But from the very beginning, we started with a design regimen around how we created software. And we began over 7 years ago, and we're now over 600 employees spread across the globe. And one of those early employees was a design person, usability guy that was focused in on design, and not just about the way that application worked and looked and felt. It's also the marketing, the way we convey our product, and how we help small businesses and accountants. So it really pervades everything we do. And at the end of the day, we're just trying to make the software as simple as possible, as easy to use for any small business to understand. And that's really one of the main reasons we've got a lot of legs and now are over a couple hundred thousand customers that are using Xero.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece of it that's really important is around, because we're online, completely web-based, designed for the web from the ground up, is having accountant professionals, whether they're CPAs or bookkeepers or within accounting firms, able to access data anywhere, anytime, on any device. So, when you've got data in the cloud, it is accessible anywhere with an internet connection, and that changes the game completely on how you can service a client and how you can provide more value to that client, how a small business can have real-time information, and you can help them with any kind of decision-making, whereas in the days of desktop, you just couldn't do that throughout the month. It was a nightmare trying to collect information to produce a report or help someone get a bank loan or decide whether they want to hire another employee. Now with real-time information, it just changes the game. So both of those things, I think the design aesthetic, the way the market is going, making it very simple for you know, software and ease of use, but also making it easy for collaboration amongst small businesses and their accounting professionals.
And you're pretty big already. You already have 300 employees, correct?
We have we're over 600 employees.
Oh, 600.
Now. And,
wow.
Yeah, 600. We've been doubling our business every year, and we've grown outside the U.S. So we had the luxury of starting before entering the market. And I think we all know the major player in our market is Intuit and QuickBooks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we built a lot of software before coming to market, and then entered the U.S. just under 2 years ago. And have we now have over 110 employees in the U.S. across San Francisco, Los Angeles, Denver, and New York, and a spattering across a few other cities with individuals, but offices in those four major cities.
Let's get some down here too.
Absolutely. But my question is this: I mean, it's been sort of believed that QuickBooks has had a monopoly on the market. What was the driving factor or force or motivation behind entering a market where you have such a monolith that was already apparently fairly situated in place as number one?
I think when you have major platform shifts like we've had from DOS to Windows, and we saw a plethora of software being developed in that era, and that's a key time when people change software. We're seeing the exact same shift from PC era to online and mobile computing. And we grew up in the cloud, and we're built for the cloud. We architected our entire platform to work online, and so it's very simple to see how easy it is to collaborate, and it just works. It's kind of that Apple-esque way of computing where things just work the way you'd expect them. So with that platform shift, it's a huge opportunity. It's not just here in the U.S., it's a global opportunity. In all our other markets, we've got major players that compete with us, like Sage in the U.K., and then down in Australasia, it's MYOB, and they're in the same position where they've got legacy systems that were built for the PC era, their desktop, and hard to morph into an online system. And we just started from the beginning, and that has put us light years, I'd say light years ahead, but we're ahead in terms of mobile computing and online computing.
Hmm. So you mentioned how the dynamics of the relationship between the client and the accountant, or CPA, whatever you wish to call the professional, has changed dramatically because of being in the cloud. Can you extrapolate on that a little bit, or explain that a little bit more? Because I know in the CPA profession, I'm a CPA, have been one for about 30 years. Clients are demanding much, much more from their CPAs. In particular, business owners are really interested in things like real-time accounting and like having 24/7 worldwide access to data, because, well, we all know the business moves so fast now. So how does it really change the dynamic, though, between the client and the accountant?
I mean, it absolutely changes the game completely. I think the just stepping back a bit, where it starts is we connect to over 5,000 banks across the U.S., so all the major banks, all the major regional banks, and many of the local banks. So if you're a small business and you can authorize your bank information to come into Xero automatically every single day, that sort of starts the workflow. So we flip the whole bank reconciliation process on its head. And what we did when we started building the applications, we went out to hundreds of small businesses and asked them what they did. It was the first thing they did every day. And 9 times out of 10, they'd say they would, you know, open up their online bank, look at what money came in, what money went out, but they wouldn't process the information. So they have a general sense of what's going on with their business, but they're not understanding their true cash flow, which is inclusive of AR and AP. And so now that you've got access to your bank information that's coming automatically inside of Xero every single day, we built a very simple tool, a bank reconciliation tool, which is, it's almost like a game of Tetris where you're just matching transactions. And we actually do hear from, you know, around that design aesthetic, we hear people saying they're upset that their bank rec is finished for the day and they enjoyed it so much. So that's absurd.
I always loved doing bank recs. I don't know why nobody else did. They're so fun.
Better than a train wreck, I guess.
Well,
yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, you can do that daily now. I've got some people who listen know I have a financial interest in an outsourced accounting company in Mumbai, India, where we do daily bank reconciliation and inventory control for owners of multi-locations of fast food restaurant franchises. And somebody said, Richard, that's brilliant. I said, well, nobody ever said you had to do bank recs 20 days after the end of the particular month in question. You can do them daily, hourly, you know, if you're in the cloud and if you're real time, you can do them as often as you want, because it makes such a difference in terms of how somebody can effectively manage a business when they have access to that much knowledge and information. And exactly. And in the old days, you know, when you're getting this information well after it's cold and you can't even use it, it never made sense. I'm a lot older than you guys. I started in this profession in 1979 when I was 21. And when I started, here's a novel concept. Accountants actually did accounting. And then we had a technology improve dramatically throughout, you know, the 1980s and 90s. And it got to the point where accountants really weren't doing accounting anymore. So I want to explore that concept, too, when we come back. Yeah. I know we've got to take a break here in about 30 seconds.
We've got to take a break right now, actually. So we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life. Get over to XERO.com. Check these guys out. We'll be right back. All right, we're back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and this is the time when we thank our sponsors. So, Richard, go for it.
Thank you, sponsors. We are almost live from La Vie. We're over in the East Wing in Kearny Mesa. We hope to be back next week because the repairman said he'd have the equipment fixed. Hopefully, it's a good repairman and not the repairman who was in that movie, Repairman. That's right, Ron Burgundy. Our major sponsor, UBS, Michael Caronta and Drew Freitas, also sponsor of Art San Diego. Thank you very much. Couldn't do it without you. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company on the planet. Carl Sheeler, great business valuation resource, who is now part of Berkeley Research Group, now has 500 analysts backing him up after his recent merger. Congratulations on that, Carl. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Polito Epic CPAs, Don Epic and Paul Polito up in Vista. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. San Diego's best business bank, that would be Regions Bank with Mr. Steve Sefton and Sean Puckett right across the street from lovely La Valencia in La Jolla. And our new sponsor, Richard Gaines, has moved on to speaking and authoring as a career. So estate planning attorney Brenda Geiger and the Brenda Geiger Law Group up in Carlsbad. They do tremendous work with both estate planning as well as one of my favorite topics, asset protection. She's actually going to be on the show in about 3 weeks. Our newest sponsor, Brenda Geiger, attorney at law up in Carlsbad. So welcome aboard, Brenda. We're really excited to have you on board on our Triple Crown award-winning radio show.
Right. And did we thank La Vie?
I did. I started with La Vie.
Okay.
And I'll finish with La Vie. Thanks, La Vie.
Good, good, good. Anyway, the way you can find out more about our sponsors, who Richard has known for many years, is get over to iymoney.com, click on the sponsors tab. All their background information, contact information is there. And Richard vouches for their professionalism and expertise, correct?
I do indeed. And I want to get back. Ted McRae, let me ask you a question. Before the break, I was saying that back when I started in accounting in 1979, accountants actually did accounting. And then as technology improved, accountants sort of stopped doing accounting. And then QuickBooks came along and, in my opinion, put the client at the center of the accounting process, which I think is wrong, 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 because I think clients aren't really well-versed in accounting and they should be focused on doing the things that they do that make them money and that make their businesses successful. But nevertheless, it seemed like the client then got put at the center of the accounting process instead of the accountant. And now we seem to be going full circle, because as you mentioned, this in the cloud and so on. Is that one of the strengths of Xero, that you're basically putting the accountant back at the center of this whole process that the accountant was supposed to be at the center of to begin with?
Yeah, you know, Richard, we at Xero feel that the accountant is the true advisor of the business, and that's why we've designed Xero to really give the power back to the accountants to be the advisor. In fact, we push all of our business clients that come in through Xero on their own to hook up with an accountant, because we feel that most businesses, and quite frankly, 80 to 90% of businesses are going to be, you know, 100% more successful with an accountant behind them. And that's the power of Xero. It gives you back the collaboration with your clients in real time while you're online with your clients. If a client needs something, there's no more data file transfers. There's no more friction. It's you simply log in and you review your client's information in real time with your client.
Yeah, but I'm going to make this comment. You guys don't have to comment on this because I know you have to be friendly with CPAs, but there was a recent poll done by the Schlieder Group. The Schlieder Group is a think tank. Doug Schlieder heads it up. And the poll said that only 15% of business clients actually would even consider engaging their CPA with regard to their technology needs. And about half of the respondents believe that their CPAs are either barely at or, even worse, way behind the curve in terms of the application of the best and the brightest technology that's out there with regard to, well, what we're talking about tonight, how to get better access to better financial information more quickly. So I'm going to make the point that the CPA profession needs to pick up the pace a little bit to keep pace with what's going on in terms of what their clients want. Oh, do you guys want to comment on that, or is that too political for you?
Jamie, I mean, this might be a good time.
Yeah, it's not political at all. No, we, I mean, 15% is still quite a number of accounting professionals. The surveys we do, we think there are around 500,000 accounting firms that, whether it's a small bookkeeper all the way to the top 100 firms, that could leverage zero for their firms. And what we're seeing right now is, I guess, the early adopters that are picking up zero and seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and where the market is going. And that's working. And so I just think, in general, the accounting industry has been a laggard in terms of technology adoption and technology innovation. And we're helping propel that forward. We've seen it in other industries. Almost every industry we know has been impacted by the advent of the internet. And so it just makes sense that it's going to happen with accounting. It's just that this industry is slightly more risk averse than any others. But what we've seen is we've got a network of accountants that are forward thinking. They're looking at ways that they can improve the lives of small businesses by leveraging this technology. So they in fact are, whether it's themselves and they understand the technology and are advising their clients, or they're partnered up with another technology consultant or implementation specialist, if you will, that helps these small businesses put the processes in place that are, much more efficient, because you're not dealing with the vagaries of desktop software, file transfer, and data being out of sync.
Yeah, and that's a great answer. I mean, that's a great answer, because what's going on in the accounting profession is that our national organization, which is known as the AICPA, that's the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, they issued a report in December of 2011 called CPA Horizons 2025. And in that report, they stated that the future, in fact, not the future, but even at present, the accounting profession is no longer defined by what we call traditional services, which is cranking out tax returns and preparing historical financial statements. It's now being defined by these forward-looking, value-added kinds of services that CPAs and accountants can offer, such as real-time accounting or sustainability audits or other things that are, working with businesses to improve cash flow and profitability and understanding the key value drivers and risk metrics behind that. And so you're right, the early adopters in the accounting profession, there are still many, many CPAs who are not in the cloud, for example. But it would be my opinion that those CPAs are at risk for becoming dinosaurs, because the tech-savvy, successful business owners are demanding more from their CPAs, and they're demanding all of this information to be much more accessible and fast. And our very own profession, the CPA profession, is saying that's what the clients want. And CPAs will either respond to that or they won't. And as always, 100% of the profession will not respond to that, but the early adopters, the more progressive and creative accountants will. And I think that's really, when you guys say that Xero has beautiful accounting software, I think it goes beyond that. You have a beautiful process for helping business owners thrive. I think your software is just a part of it. That's just my humbled opinion, because you guys are 100% behind that theme of collaborative work with CPAs and clients together to drive better value to businesses, which is the small and medium-sized business is obviously the backbone of this country.
And the neat thing is for users, if you get on xero.com, I mean, it's available across many platforms. There's apps, you can get it on your smartphone. If you're a business owner, you could be traveling and get information anywhere. Is that a lot of the a big asset for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's the notion of us starting with a web premise from the beginning. We were born in an era of the internet, and so everything we do is built in a way that's available anywhere you can get an internet connection in a mobile device. We have it optimized for any mobile device, so the website you can access on an iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, your iPad. And we adjust the form factor so that it shows up in a way that you can use it. Obviously, on a smaller interface like an iPhone, it's harder to process certain things in the full application. But I can tell you, I actually have done a full demo on a bus on the way to work with somebody, and my iPhone. So it is possible.
That's great. You know, with that, let's take our break right now, digest all this stuff, get over to XERO.com. We'll come right back with more. Hang on. All right, we're back with the last segment of It's Your Money and Your Life, live from La Vie, typically, with the award-winning Richard Musio and myself. And Richard, where would you like to take it from here?
So, gentlemen, question. I want our listeners to know, you guys aren't just some small startup company. You just had about a $150 million U.S. capital raise, right?
That's correct. Yes, we did. We kind of liken ourselves to a big startup, just the way that we operate, but you know, we've been raising money all along the way for the last 7 years, and we are actually a publicly traded company on the Australian and New Zealand Stock Exchange, so all the financials are in order, and things are going pretty well.
Main office in San Fran, and then offices where? Los Angeles, and where else? New York, or tell me the other
New York, we have an office. We have an office in Denver. And we've got people in Atlanta, Austin, and Seattle.
Wow.
So I got an email from you guys about a week ago, and it was really exciting for me. But CPAs have weird interests. But here was the title of the email, and you guys can explain it. It said, attach files to your financial data. I almost fell out of my chair. Why was I so excited? Can you explain?
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly right. It's just when you see it and you hear it, you think, well, obviously we should have that. Why doesn't that exist already? So we sought out to fix it. And basically now it's drag and drop. Anything on your home screen you want to pull over and attach to an invoice or a transaction or an account or whatever it is, you can pull that in and it sits inside Xero, and there's absolutely no additional charge. So it's document storage without a charge. That rolls right into your Xero subscription and associated with any transaction. So now you think about, you know, an amortization schedule or you know, a leasing agreement or some sort of financial contract. You can put it right in with a customer or any kind of transaction, so it's always there.
And you can also do cool stuff like the picture, a photograph of the vendor or the interests of the person, you know, who's associated with the account. So you can actually have more, I think, relevant discussions with people too.
Exactly.
Because it's all just there.
And that's just the first phase. So you can imagine where this goes. We're just really excited. Again, we think of things in terms of how should this work? How should this make an accountant's life easier, a small business's life easier? And we start with that premise and then start pounding away and designing. And these are the things that come out. So, yeah, it's really fun.
And I know you guys just recently are about to add payroll as one of the functions. Is that correct?
Exactly, yeah. We're going to have a payroll feature inside the application. So no longer you need to export information from one application to another. You run your payroll right inside Xero, and all the transactions flow through to your GL. So no more of that done. And then also included with that, we have a premise around simplicity and just ease of use. And that sort of flows through the entire organization and also our pricing. So we're going to have all-inclusive pricing. There's no nickel and diming like you add another employee, you charge. We don't do that. It's one fixed fee. And you get e-filing, direct deposit, all that stuff included. So there's no, extra pricing, nickel and diamond that comes in after the fact, which is what we heard from our customers that they wanted. So we're delivering that. So that comes out in early December. We'll have our first release.
That's exciting stuff. So here's a really cool story about Xero. I heard about you guys about 2 years ago. I think it was through Doug Sleater. I don't remember for sure. And I got very excited very quickly just because I've been a long time, well, not fan of QuickBooks for the reasons I stated. But you guys had an event in San Francisco about 2 months ago called ZeroCon. I'll let you explain it in about a minute, but here's a real cool story. So I do quite a bit of business with you guys, and we sent two of our employees, their names are Anton and Ken, up to your event. And we told them, you're going to be in a room full of CPAs. They're like, oh, no, not a room full of CPAs. I said, no, trust me, this is going to be different. So they're up there, and they call me like an hour into ZeroCon, which was up in San Francisco. They said, Richard, this is amazing. This is the most energetic, fun, exciting event we've ever been to, and it's a room full of CPAs. And I said, well, there's a reason why, you guys. I said, most CPA events, CPAs are there because they have to be there, you know, like to get their continuing education hours. I said, all of the CPAs at ZeroCon, all the accountants there, they actually want to be there. Because it's just such an exciting thing that's going on. I said, that's why. But they were shocked because, well, I don't mean to, you know, rag on my own profession, but most people think about going to a CPA convention with the same degree of excitement as going to, say, a dentist convention.
Or root canal.
Root canal specialist. What was ZeroCon all about? Can you tell us sort of what was going on there? Because, again, it was a great event based on all reports that I got.
Yeah, I think it just goes back to, we've got some passionate people at Xero, and we love small business, we love accounting, and we feel like we're changing the way that accounting professionals and small business work together, and that feels really good, and we're doing it in a way that is partnering with accounting professionals. So, and I think that's pervaded the market. The early adopters have jumped on. They see it. We're kind of more down to earth and in touch with our accounting partners, and really want to make their businesses succeed. And there's nothing more satisfying than, you know, I did as an accounting firm that showed up at XeroCon. They started in January of this year and now have 80 clients on Xero, and they all came from our website. So we're actually driving their business. We actually created a business off the backs of Xero. And that feels good. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. At the end of the day, if you can make that happen, everybody in our organization feels good. So that, I think, turns these conferences into more of a lot of camaraderie and excitement around where we're going. And to be honest, we're just at the start. This is the end of the beginning for us. We see, you know, 10 years of this, and it's just gonna explode when more and more accountants jump on board.
And I know you've got some what you call road shows coming up, because I'm scheduled to appear at one, I think, here in San Diego and one up in Laguna Beach. I'm never more than about a day in front of my schedule, but I know that's in the next week or two or three. What are your road shows all about? Same thing?
Yeah, they're kind of like mini XeroCon. So if you couldn't attend XeroCon, we're coming out to the market to see you, and we've got multiple members of our team. I'll let Ted explain. I know he's got a few in his backyard, and he's, some of his staff is in San Diego. So, Ted, are you on the line still?
Yeah, you bet. So, Richard, yes, like Jamie said, our road shows are designed to be as fun and informative as our XeroCon. And what we do is our local senior account managers, who are really the extension between Xero and the CPA practice, along with some of our VPs and developers as well, we go in and we show exactly what Xero is about. A lot of our new features, like the Xero Files, which you were referring to earlier, as well as giving them a preview of our payroll within Xero. One of the nice things, it's going to be a lot of fun, but it's also worth 5 CPE credits, so you can have fun and earn your credits at the same time. Come on out and meet the Xero folks. And see what Xero is all about. And the great thing is, Richard, you were saying that the CPA community is notorious for, according to Doug Sleater, for not seeing the innovation and not educating themselves. This is a perfect opportunity for them to come out, educate themselves, and guess what? Have a lot of fun while they're doing it as well. Our reviews so far on XeroCon across the country have just been outstanding. People are having a great time while they're there. They're meeting some fantastic folks. And you know what, Richard? They're meeting their peers as well. And they're able to find out how to collaborate with their clients, how to do fun things like value-based pricing and things of that nature. So it's just a great time. So in San Diego, we're there on November 12th. We're also in L.A. on the 13th. And we're in Laguna Beach on the 14th.
And that's all up on your website, because I checked. So if you can just go to Xero.com, and the whole schedule is up there.
And that's X-E-R-O, yep. Folks.
Yeah, X-E-R-O. Yeah. Dot. I'll spell com, too, since nobody reads anymore. That's C-O-M.
XERO.com/roadshow.
Yeah, roadshow.
And register right there.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's neat stuff.
Also, on our website, Richard, there's a nice little video. Jamie was just on Bloomberg News,
yep.
And just on Halloween, and you can watch that little 2.5-minute segment. It's very impressive. So,
yeah, but the neat thing, Ted, you just made this point. What you guys are doing is totally consistent with what I talk about in public, which is what's called the CPA firm of the future, or the CPA as being the most trusted business advisor. And so there's other, shall we say, issues that surround that CPAs are able to improve on as well. For example, getting rid of hourly billing, which clients absolutely hate, and going to more fixed pricing or value billing. That's part of it. Obviously, CPAs being able to differentiate themselves in the marketplace, because it's hard for consumers to tell one CPA firm apart from another. Xero is a great opportunity as a differentiating factor or a branding opportunity for CPAs. I was speaking to 35 CPAs in Phoenix, like I said earlier this week, where, again, it's dangerous because they're allowed to carry guns. And nice people, but you couldn't tell one from another. And it's really, really sad, because their business owners are demanding so much more. So I love what you guys are doing, because it's so consistent with all of these themes in terms of how my profession is progressing.
That's great, Richard.
Gentlemen, really appreciate it. Jamie, Ted, thanks so much.
Yeah, we got to thank you. Great having you on. XERO.com, folks, get over there and get on IYMoney.com to learn more.
That's award-winning, IYMoney.com.
Correct. So thanks to Ann Berchtold from Art San Diego 2013 for being our first guest tonight, and Michael Caranta from UBS in studio with us. Don't forget to turn your clocks back, by the way, folks, tonight. And thanks to Jeff Moore, who made us sound great tonight, who's our sound engineer. Thanks to Craig Blank, our con executive. Thanks to Dave Sniff, our programming genius. You have a great week, folks. We'll see you next week on It's Your Money and Your Life, the award-winning, of course, live from La Vie. Good night.